All right, I'll get everybody back to their seats. We're just about ready. Everyone, my name is Joel. It's this morning. Yeah, asking for life and for story. So yeah, I'm just going to open up in prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank who you are and how much you have guided each person here. Everybody here has a different story of why they're here this morning, why they're a part of Unity, why they're a Dream Center. And I just pray, Lord, that no matter where or why each person is here, your voice and what's going to be shared. We ask that you go on mic. So I just wanted you, Suzanne, to introduce yourself, your family, to everyone.
So my name's Suzanne, and handsome husband is Nick right there, and my oldest son, Mateo, is beside him. And then Sunday school, I have Elliston and Olivia and Nelwyn. That's my family.
You just give us your church history and you got to.
Actually, when Joel sent me the questions, he said, brief recap, and anybody who knows me knows that will be difficult. So briefly, I just grew up going to church for as long as I can remember. We attended a very traditional Anglican church until I was about 13, and then we started attending a Lutheran church in my hometown until I went to university. And then when I was in university, I went to a Baptist church, mostly because it was close. I could walk to the church, and that was an important thing because I didn't have wheels. And I'm laughing because I wrote this last night. I wrote all my answers at like from 12 till 2 in the morning. So I'm kind of like, can I read that? I went to a Baptist church when I was in university. And I would say, like, to recap my walk with Jesus, that I've always loved Jesus, but I would say that I didn't know him all that well, despite knowing of him. And when I left university for my first teaching job, I went through a major bout of depression and anxiety. And I think it was during this recovery time that I started wanting my faith to be my own and began searching for Jesus and his presence. And then I started attending our Lutheran church again at that time. And then Nick and I got married, and we moved from Pinoca to Red Deer. And we were looking for a church, and we decided on Unity Baptist for two main reasons, apart from the fact that all the biblical things that we were wanting to see were in this church. And the one thing that we really loved was that the worship was lively. I think that's really important. I think when it's spirit-filled, you feel that joy. And then the second thing was I had been teaching for a few years. I don't remember how many years, but a few years at that point. So every church that we visited, it would be like, Mrs. Burnett, Mrs. Burnett. And I'd be like, hi. But all the kids would introduce themselves to me. And so I think people maybe thought like, you go to this church or whatever. But Unity was actually the first church where we were greeted by people who didn't know us, and that spoke deeply to me. So that's how we got to Unity, and we've been here for 19 years, I think. And I would say that my walk with Jesus was mostly about, at that time when we started, just going to church and living in a good way that I hoped would honor and please God. But I wasn't all in. I wasn't really close to Jesus at all, and I was building my own kingdom, honestly.
So, yeah, you're kind of living the maximum requirement following Jesus. But what changed? What changed in your life where you said, there's got to be something here. There's got to be something. Yeah, walk us through that aspect, journey.
So I guess I was feeling like there should be more. I heard people saying, you know, I have a relationship with God, or, you know, he's my best friend. And I was like, Like, I've gone to church my whole life, and I know God, like, I know him, and I know he loves me, but I don't have a relationship with God. And I think he probably was putting on my heart at that time the scripture, which I'm not great with knowing where it came from, but I know it's in there, basically that says, like, he will spit you out if you are lukewarm. And I felt lukewarm. I felt like I don't love Jesus with my whole heart. I don't serve him with my whole heart. I just want to you know, do the bare minimum or whatever. And I just, I want more. I want this relationship. I want this presence. So I don't know, just you kind of, you went off script there a little bit. Like, wait a second, that doesn't match what I've typed here next. Hold on. But that's, yeah, that would answer the question of like what changed. I felt lukewarm. I didn't want to be lukewarm, and I wanted the presence of God. And I guess at the same time, yeah, my mom had passed away about 6 years ago now, 6 and a half, and so things were changing a little bit in my heart about like, yeah, stuff, family stuff, generational stuff, right? Yeah.
So yeah, like as things are changing, what are some big moments? I guess first though, when did you really start pursuing hearing the Holy Spirit?
We're back on script. Okay. So a few years ago now, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I remember praying, asking for God. I do remember this, yeah. Asking for God to put a fire in my heart because I really wanted Him. And I didn't want to be lukewarm. And I kind of told you guys that part there. My mom had passed away, and I remember feeling things and hearing things at that time, but not really being able to understand. I know now that I was hearing from the Holy Spirit, and I can look back on other times in my life and know that I'd heard from the Holy Spirit. I guess it just felt like my faith background had kind of just neglected the Holy Spirit. Like, I knew there was the Trinity. Growing up, we called the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. And I think maybe part of the like disconnect was, I don't believe in ghosts, so I'm not sure how I'm supposed to believe in Him. And I felt like I had learned about the Trinity, but really didn't have instruction on how, or on the Holy Spirit and how He kind of fit into the equation. And I would say that my pursuit of hearing the Holy Spirit was a result of a lot of things. It was kind of like combo deal. Reading and kind of undertaking the work in the book Soul Care that our church had offered to you. You could read and then you'd get together at the church and watch a video about it, and then you would get into like a really small group and talk about things, and there was questions, and it was really deep. And in the book, the author, he's a pastor, I think from the States, Rob Reimer, I want to say, he just talked about how your soul is like a suitcase. And that really spoke to me because I could visualize it. I'm a visual person. And he just said, like, your soul is like a suitcase that you just like, you know, if you can imagine, it's just packed full. You know, when you're trying to pack for a trip and you're like, I'm going to get it to, like, I'm going to, you're sitting on it. You're trying to, you know, like that. Like, it's full of stuff. And some of it's conscious stuff that you've put in there, and a lot of it is unconscious stuff, and that we need to unpack the conscious and unconscious stuff that we filled our suitcase with. And when we do this, then we have room for the Holy Spirit in our soul, and we can hear from the Holy Spirit because we've actually made room for Him. So this was a big part of my journey, and I would say that a lot of that unpacking came from also multiple sessions of healing prayer and deliverance. And I'm really thankful for a dear friend who's walked me and my husband through this, and thankful to God for His forgiveness and grace in this. I can't say enough good things about healing prayer and deliverance. And I would say the third pursuit of hearing the Holy Spirit was an invitation that Noah had made at our church. I think he said that he was starting a group on Sunday nights, and if you wanted to have a closer relationship with Jesus, he did not say, I don't think at that time, about, yeah, closer relationship with Jesus and hear from the Holy Spirit, that you should come. And so I was like, oh, that's exactly what I'm asking for. It's exactly what I've been praying for. So I guess I'm coming out. And then at the same time, Ben had been talking about the Holy Spirit and had asked one Sunday how people heard from the Holy Spirit. And I think I was sort of blown away by how differently God can and does speak to people. Because I think up until that point, I just kind of thought, like, you know, some people hear from him, like audibly, and that's about it. And I don't. and I think I just felt like if God is real, and if the Bible is real, and I say I follow him, that there has to be something missing, because I don't feel the peace, and I don't feel the joy, and I don't feel like I can give up everything to follow him. And I want this relationship that I don't have. Something is missing, and I have no idea how to hear from the Holy Spirit. How do I know it's not me talking? So I wanted to learn because I want to experience God in my life, and I was tired of rules, and I wanted relationship.
So you're at this place where you want to. Just walk us through the times, and how did that go when you did hear, and how did that challenge you?
I think that's funny because I'm like, oh, I wasn't going to, that's not, one just came to mind, and I was like, I wasn't going to share that one. But I was thinking about on Sunday nights when Noah was first asking us to listen, and the thing that we'd been asked to do was to listen. There was about eight of us, I feel like, and we were sitting in a circle, and he was like, okay, ask Holy Spirit for scripture for this person. And every single person, I got scripture that was not in the Bible. And I was like, what are we doing? I'm not getting it. And I felt really discouraged because I was like, I don't have anything to give anybody here. Like, swing and miss, like open up the Bible. That's not there, you know? And so it came to the last person, which in my memory, I was the last person. I might not have been the last person, but, and it was, people were supposed to give me scripture from Holy Spirit. And I heard a scripture and I was like, might as well look, because I've looked for every other one. And it was the only time that I was given scripture. And I was like, wow, okay. But I can't give it to anybody. And then I was like, okay, well, that was cool. But, you know, that's that. And then we went around the circle, and everybody was sharing what they'd heard from the Holy Spirit for me. And then Ben said, I'm not really sure. I think I'm hearing this. And he said the exact scripture that I had heard. And I was just like blown away, because emotional. God knew how desperately I wanted to hear him, how desperately I wanted to be with him. And he was like, it's okay. I have got you. I have so got you. Watch this, you know, and just gave him the exact scripture for me. And I feel like that was a turning point for me to just all in. Trust God, like, okay, not my way, your way. And probably the start of patience in learning to listen. So, big moments where I heard things that were challenging to my regular life. Are we there? Is that right? Okay, great. Okay, whew. So, loaded question. I feel like listening to the Holy Spirit is often challenging to my regular life, like most of the time. what I've learned is that God cares about my obedience and not about the outcome. So sometimes listening to the Holy Spirit means that I look ridiculous. Like last week when I was like, okay, we're going to do this song and you're going to stand up and you're going to stand up and we're going to have fun because God needs me to feel joy. So one of the first things that I heard one time, I was just walking and I heard Holy Spirit say, there's two ladies, I was walking around these ponds, and there's two ladies, and I want you to tell them pillars of strength. And I was like, that makes no sense. I do not want to do that. No, thank you. And I talked my way through the whole rest of the lap. If they just turn around, I won't have to do this. If they just don't, you know, like, I had figured out a way that they just won't come. Yeah, they came around, and I awkwardly went up to them and said, I don't really know how to say this to you, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you pillars of strength. And they were like, and I was like, okay. So that was like my first like big, oh, all right, this makes no sense. I don't get it. I don't know what to do with this. Okay, did I do it, God? Like, yeah, I felt ridiculous. But a friend of mine said, that we don't get to choose the outcome. I think that's a big lesson in it. All we get to choose is the obedience. And I won't often know why God has me speak to someone, and I don't get to pick and choose the words. I need to put aside my fear of their reaction and fear of man and ask if I can share what Holy Spirit has said for them. My friend also taught me when I'm discerning, if something is from the Holy Spirit, that I should align, it should align with his word, the Bible, and it should always be given in love. So I try and remember this whenever I'm weighing what I believe to be from the Holy Spirit. If it matches what I know to be true of his nature, then I feel I can share it. Sometimes it doesn't really make sense, though, like pillars of strength, and that can be challenging. Or sometimes I'm only given one or two words, and I'm unsure. I guess an example would be that God has given me a person's name before I meet them. I'll ask the person if that name means anything to them, and then I'll explain that God gave me their name. Then I'll ask if there's anything I can pray for with them. The idea that God wants to speak and can speak so clearly to reach his people was pretty challenging to my regular life. It's like witnessing a miracle before your eyes to get to be God's hands and feet for him to use you and to say to that person, I see you, child, and I love you, child, and you are not alone. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm like, this is a lot. I wrote a lot. But he's been moving a lot, so God is good. The present season that I'm in right now is a result of listening to the Holy Spirit. I resigned from being a teacher for 22 years, and I left teaching at the end of June because I felt like the Holy Spirit said to leave teaching permanently. And this has been a huge challenge because I love teaching. I'm not going to cry. It's been a challenge because I depended on the income and the stability and the benefits, et cetera, et cetera. But what God has taught me is that that has been challenging is that my job was an idol. Ugh. That's hard to go through, but it's also been so good. He told me that I was going to go back to school to become a nurse in pediatric oncology. So I'm going through the challenge of heading back to university and all the doubts of, am I smart enough? Can I actually get in? And then if I get in, can I actually handle it? Et cetera, et cetera. So lots of challenges. I literally have another page of challenges. Is everybody okay? Like, do you need a stretch break? God also said to take this present year that I'm in off, which is very challenging for me because I like to be busy and I like to be productive and I like to be doing things. He said, this year, you take this year off and you pour into relationship with me and you deepen your relationship with me and you read your Bible. And that was challenging to my regular life because like I say, I like being productive and busy and I love doing, and whether it's my job or it was a lot my job or volunteering for different capacities. But the challenge has been not to do, but rather to be content in quiet, to be content in stillness, to sit and pray and to sit and read the Bible. And I remember feeling like, Lord, I'm going to be so lonely because I'd be missing all my students and my colleagues. And he had told me, like, you can't fill this time because everything in me wanted to fill it. I was like, wow, well, there's so many things. But it turns out that I really needed this time. Nick and I have walked through in the last 2 months so much stuff that's been so hard. So honestly, it's his goodness and grace to give me the time to process everything. But it is so challenging to be asked to give things up that you love. And I haven't been lonely. He actually brought a new, very dear friend into my life as a result of obedience to him. She literally, this is like, that's what I told you, a brief is not in my vocabulary. This Holy Spirit said to me the word boldness. In the summertime, I was selling all of my teaching stuff out of my garage. It was amazing. God was bringing all these people to my garage, and I was praying. I was talking to people. Every single person who came in was like, "What? There's a lot of teaching stuff here. What are you?" And I tell them, they'd be in my garage. They thought they were coming to buy stuff. They were there for him. I heard him say in that time the word boldness. And so I felt like he put that word on my heart. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna be listening for that. And this friend that's a friend now but wasn't a friend then literally came to my door, and she was saying something. And then I heard her say the word boldness. And I was like, what? And then she said something else. And I said, yeah, I'm in. I'm there. I'll do it. And she was like, I haven't even told you what it is yet. And I was like, no, I know. But that's like Holy Spirit gave me the word. You use the word. What is it we're doing? And so I've been in this group learning to parent with the Holy Spirit. And it's been awesome. And God has gifted me with this friend who I've been able to like take my four kids over to her house and be like, I need you to keep them for a little bit. I got to walk through stuff, right? It's been amazing. And that's, you know, a blessing from being obedient. God also said to, Okay. Probably the other biggest moment that challenged my regular life was when I was given the gift of tongues. I thought at the time when it happened that either I was going crazy, or I'd been given the gift of tongues. Tongues is really challenging because I don't know how people will respond to it. And I've been incredibly blessed to experience other people speaking in tongues the first time during healing prayer and deliverance. So when I was given this gift in front of the Dream Center here, it was a whole lot less scary than I think it would have been or would have felt. But tongues has challenged my whole idea about how God operates, how we can be used, and how connected he is with us. That he literally can make me speak out other languages is really incredible. And I would say most recently, I told you I can't be brief. I know you keep looking, is she done? No, I'm not done. I would say most recently that the biggest moments that Holy Spirit has challenged me would be with, challenged me with words is with forgiveness. I've had a few encounters in the last month where I've forgiven someone that I never would have thought it possible. Like quite literally, I have heard the Holy Spirit give me warnings. So he has said things like, prepare your heart, this person's about to tell you this. And then they tell me that. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, you can forgive them because I forgave you. And they're things that I thought I'd never, ever be able to forgive someone for. And he just did it in a second. In a second, he just spoke. He said, this is what you're going to hear. Get ready. And then now forgive them because I've forgiven you. And I did. And I, even when I was talking to the person after, I was like, I don't know what just happened? It's the Holy Spirit. There's no way I could do that in my power. I would say also one of the biggest moments that Holy Spirit has challenged me was when he told me that I had to do something. And when I asked him when to do this really difficult thing that he had told me to do, that he said, wait. And I had so much doubt and fear, and he knew that. And he knew I needed to learn how to wait on him and on his timing and his goodness. And I can look back now and see how he did all things for his good, but the waiting was so hard.
Awesome. I know that like you had talked a bit. I think as Baptists, sometimes our Trinity becomes God the Father, the Son, Holy Bible. That becomes our Trinity. And when get to know, because the Holy Spirit, it's personal, right? And so how has that changed? Because the Holy Spirit is there to glorify the Son. And so how is this walk of getting to know the Holy Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit, how has that changed your relationship with Jesus?
I think I would, yeah, the word that keeps coming is intimacy, that I have an intimacy now that I never had before, an intimacy and a trust because of obedience. It's really wonderful. I have a peace about a lot of things that I didn't before. Obeying his voice has drawn me closer to Jesus. Most recently, I've started hearing him say, and it's totally an answer to prayer, like, read Proverbs. Okay, I'll read all Proverbs, and then read Lamentations. Okay, and read Song of Solomon. Okay, read Ecclesiastes. Okay, read Daniel. Like, this literally was this week. He was like, and I was like, one of my struggles in this sitting down and reading my Bible was like, I don't know where to start. Like, where do I start? Where do I go? What's the roadmap? And in breaking off so much stuff, he's just like, here you go. This is actually so much easier. You just, you know, let me help you out. And what's changed in our house and in our marriage is that we are reading his word and it is coming to life. It's literally jumping off the page at me, and I feel close to him, and I feel held by him. I feel seen by him in a way I never knew possible. I love spending time with him and being used by him. Yes, I sometimes feel scared because his way is, I would say generally, it doesn't feel easy or comfortable to me, but he is such a good, good father. And I'm learning to trust him and his plans and his ways and his timing. And obeying his voice is teaching me that he wants to be in relationship with me. And he's always speaking. And I feel like this is something that was on my heart yesterday too when I was writing. Because I use the word speaking a lot. And we hear in the Bible like that God speaks. It's not just audible. I don't just hear God. Sometimes, you know, God can speak to you through dreams. He can speak to you through visions. I often see things when I'm praying and talking to him. He can speak to you with your emotions. Like sometimes he's spoken to me and I've just had like an overwhelming love for somebody. And it's like the love of the Father just like pouring out. And I don't necessarily even know them. And I'm like, wow, you need to know God loves you. And like he wants to tell you that, like, you are his kid, you know? So it speaks through emotions, and he can speak through knowing, too. Like, when you have just a sense of knowing of something, that can be the Holy Spirit, too.
Yeah, I guess we're going to go. So I'll just set it up a bit, and then you can tell from your perspective. But one night, our Sunday night group, so we meet downtown, and then we get together, we pray, we listen, and we head out and pray for people. Sometimes it's evangelism, sometimes it's prophecy, sometimes it's whatever kind of happens. And we were still at the old church at that time, but I think we knew, but we hadn't come here yet. And both groups kind of got sent here on different things. And we met together. There was two groups of us out praying. We met together out there in the parking lot. And yeah.
Yeah, so like Joel said, we would meet at the city hall. We split off into small groups. I'm pretty sure it was me, Noah, and Ben together that night. And I'm sorry, Joel, I think it was you and Maria and Everett, maybe Michael. Sorry for your group. You weren't with me. Anyways, we heard Noah saw broken glass, and I heard the word church, and Ben heard the direction north. So we started walking, and as we were walking, I think I said something I think the Holy Spirit put on my mind, like maybe the church is like the dream center. Maybe we're supposed to go to what's going to be our church. But that didn't match with North. So then we went and we prayed over all of these churches. I did not realize how many churches there are downtown until we did that. I was like, wow, there is a lot of great things going on, God. And we just prayed over all these churches and yeah, and then the funny thing was, like, broken glass is everywhere downtown. It's everywhere, right? So we were looking. We were like, we're going to see some broken glass. We didn't see any broken glass. And so we walked all the way, went to the north and prayed over all these churches. No broken glass. And so then I said, well, maybe we are supposed to go to the Dream Center because that's going to be our church. And I heard church. And we got here and it's never happened before that we were at the same spot as the other people. Never. Like, it's big downtown, and we never have crossed paths. And when we got to the Dream Center parking lot, there was broken glass in the parking lot right away. And we're like, oh. And the other group was actually praying like around the parking lot, like Walls of Jericho, you know, praying around as they were walking. So we cleaned up the broken glass and we waited for them. And then we were just praying for the men at the Dream Center, praying for, you know, our community and us coming here. And as people were praying, I just started hearing all these sounds. And I was like, yeah, well, either I'm going crazy or I'm hearing tongues. And at that time, I had only heard one person pray in tongues. So I was really hoping it was tongues because the alternative, like, here's the background. I worked at Centennial Center for 6 years, which at the time was Alberta Hospital Pinoca. So thinking about, you know, mental health and where things can go, like, it's, yeah, I'm aware of the realities. So yeah, anyways, that's, I don't know, following your question. Oh, goodness. Okay, so tell us about that. So I started speaking really quietly, honestly, as quietly as I could, but I felt like I basically said to God, if this is tongues, then you just let me speak it out. But if it's not you, if it's not of you, if it's not tongues, then shut my mouth, like shut it. And so we finished praying. Noah and Ben and I were walking away, and I said something to Ben like, hey, I just wondered what you could tell me about tongues. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's what you were just speaking. And I was like, oh, you heard that. Okay. So I honestly would say that my feeling about, I can remember Ben saying, and I think maybe you, Joel, or some other people I talked to, like, oh, it's so great. You've been given the gift of tongues. And I was like, is it? Is it so great? Because I feel like a lot crazy, a lot. And, you know, and I would say that my experience up until that point was that if I told myself years, I actually said this to someone out loud years ago, if I ever hear tongues, like, I'm going to run for the hills. Like, that is not of God. It's crazy town. No, that's what that's going to look like. And what happened was I was going through healing prayer and deliverance, and there was generational sin that was just stuck in me, demonic garbage. And it had such a stronghold because it was generations upon generations in my family. And it, what happened was I lost feeling from my waist down. So I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't move my legs, which is very scary. And I said to this friend, I was like, I can't feel my legs. Like, what is going on? And she started praying in tongues. That was the first time I heard tongues. And I was like, okay, I'm hearing tongues. And I remember saying, if I ever hear tongues, I'm going to run for the hills. And he was literally like, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay right here and I'm going to deliver it. I'm going to deliver you. So in that experience, I felt calm and I felt peace. And I was like, oh, thank goodness she's speaking in tongues. And I'm thinking, what? Like, how can I be having this thought of, thank goodness she's speaking in tongues, because at least I know what she's doing. I don't know what's going on with my body. Anyways, so fast forward, I talked to Ben, and Ben sends me this awesome video by John Bevere, because I was like, my experience with tongues was basically what I remembered, which was, if somebody speaks in tongues, there should be an interpreter. And I was like, I don't know who the interpreter is. Like, who's interpreting right now when we were praying together? And that's why I was like fearful. But in listening to this awesome video by John Bevere, he talks about there's four different times in the Bible where we see tongues. And I was like, what? Mind blown, right? So we see tongues spoken corporately, and we see tongues spoken personally. So in the Bible, people talk about how it's a prayer language between you and God, which I've had the blessing of being able to speak just in my prayer time in tongues. There's also intercessory tongues, which is where you are interceding on someone else's behalf. You're praying for someone else. And I've experienced that. My sister-in-law, my sister, her father-in-law was in hospice, and I just heard his name one day. I wasn't thinking about her or him. I just heard his name one day, and I started hearing tongues, I just prayed in tongues over them. And then that afternoon, he passed away. And so I really feel like that was intercessory prayer for him and for their family. There's corporate tongues, which is in the body. So when we see the disciples, when they were given the Holy Spirit and the fire above their heads, right? And they start speaking in all these different languages and people could understand them. We see tongues in that way, corporately. And I was very, like, another mind-blown situation. I had the opportunity to pray over somebody who'd actually been at our church and shared her testimony. And Holy Spirit said at that time, it was at a conference, there was prophetic there, and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And basically said, like, God, if I'm supposed to be here, confirm it. Show me something. And she went out into the crowd, this lady, and she spoke over this person that I'd met once in my life 3 years before, but I'd heard her testimony, and everything that she said over her was true to her testimony. And then I heard Holy Spirit say, go over and speak in tongues over her. And it was maybe like the third time that I'd heard Holy Spirit say to do that. And I'm not gonna lie, I was like, what? Okay. So then I went and prayed with her, and when I prayed with her, it sounded, I don't speak a lick of, like, I butcher my French. It's bad. A little bit of Italian in university, some Latin through singing and German, but I don't speak any Mandarin, Cantonese, Japanese, Taiwanese, nothing in that realm. And I was praying in tongues, and it sounded very, oriental. And we finished praying, and she said, wow, thank you so much. And she said, I recognize words you were saying. And I was like, coming, what? She said, oh yeah, I was with the Church of, the Underground Church of China just a few weeks ago in Mongolia. And I've heard words that you said. And I was just like, okay, that's amazing. Right? So for me, what's the other one I'm missing? There's another corporate. Oh yeah, the one day. Oh, the one that I'm scared of, the one that is that you hear to speak for the body, to edify the body, all of the body in front of everybody, and that an interpreter would be present to share what God wants to say to the people. I don't know. Did I completely? Are you all? Do you need a stretch break?
No, I that's great. I would sum up by saying sometimes God puts us, like your whole testimony, God puts us in uncomfortable situations a lot to test us. I think he puts us in places that we're not comfortable in, parts of scripture that, yeah, we kind of maybe gloss over. I believe it's a test. Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to, look foolish? And that really is the hardest part. As I listen to your testimony, Suzanne, I see God asking you to step out of your, to look foolish at times. And are we willing to do that? And I know that that's a really challenging part, because it reveals the Holy Spirit through him speaking. It reveals our pride, right? And we don't even realize that we're prideful in different areas. But when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he says, say this, you think, oh, I'm going to look, it's going to make me look weird. And I truly believe it's pride that's keeping tongues. Is very clear in scripture. Paul teaches about it. He goes about it. It's biblical. It's very biblical. But it offends our sense. And that's why we don't want to go there. Yeah. I'll just share something of your testimony that I don't know if you know, but my parents came here to visit us one time, and they were here at the worship service, and you had gotten a word from my mom. And again, this is uncomfortable. You don't, but she, Suzanne came over and just said, hey, I had this word for you. This is the word I had for you. It's not easy, right? It's not easy to do, to be obedient that way. talking with my mom later, my mom told me about it. I didn't know what happened, but my mom told me about it. And my mom just started crying. You know, she said it was the Lord that was speaking through this lady. I needed that. I needed that. Like, she was desperate. And the Lord answered her prayer through someone else being obedient. And so I share that to say that as you're talking about being uncomfortable, being obedient to the Spirit's leading, you have no idea what God will use you to speak into someone's life. And what a privilege, right? As you're talking about this, He's asking us, the Holy Spirit's asking us to partner with Him to tell people things. And it's at the cost of our pride. That's the price. I'll let you wrap up just kind of maybe, I know we're not going to get to the end, but just wrap up just of what you're saying. God is good, and here's how He's good. It isn't easy, right? And I think, yeah, just wrap up with that.
As you were saying that, I thought of two experiences just in the last short little while. We're at the grocery store, and we were trying to get out because I had the girls and we already had the groceries. And I saw somebody that I haven't seen in probably 5 years. I was like, oh, I got to go. No, I should go talk to her. Okay. So I like went, spoke to her. She told me that her husband was in hospice. And it was just like, oh, that's so hard. And then she says to me, are you still teaching? And I was like, no, but I can't sum this up for you in 2 minutes. And so she's like, well, let's go for a walk. Or I said, like, you want to go for a walk? Anyways, fast forward. We go for a walk, and at the end of the walk, I have the opportunity to ask her if I could pray with her, a non-believer. And the day before, I talked to my friend. I said, I know that this person believes in a lot of things, but that scares me because I don't want to believe in anything but Jesus, and I don't want to give anything but Jesus. And so this friend had said to me, just pray that she can experience Jesus through you. Like, pray for a Jesus encounter. And I've been so blessed to experience so many of those. I was like, oh yeah, of course, I'll pray for that. So anyways, I was praying with her, and all of a sudden I just started speaking in tongues, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I just prayed in tongues for a bunch of our prayer, and then I went back to English. And she sent me a text, I think it was 5 days later. She said, I've had a crazy week, but I've been thinking about your prayer, and I wanted to know what language were you speaking, because it was so beautiful. And then below that, she sent me the obituary for her husband. So he had passed. And I just, when I think about obeying God and trusting God, like I wanted her to experience Jesus, and he did that, right? And like, when we empty ourselves and when we obey, even though it can be weird, it can be awkward, it can be uncomfortable, He will bless your obedience. Like, I have seen it so many times where I know the time that I prayed with Joel's mom, I hear tongues here all the time. And sometimes I hear, you know, go say this to this person or go say that. And I just think, like, God is so good. He's so good. His timing is always right. And when we obey Him, when we choose to listen and we desire that of Him, He will speak, and He's going to speak in His own way to you, and it's so beautiful. But it is a gift. It's an absolute gift to be able to bring His peace and His calm and His love to His people. So I guess in sharing about tongues today and in sharing about listening to the Holy Spirit, I would just encourage you, like, God loves you, and He sees you, and He wants freedom for you.
Thanks, Suzanne. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that your goodness, it's hard to describe how you partner with your people to do your will here on earth. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for the ways in which we have partnered with you to do your will here. And I just pray, Lord, that that you would be, we would be a church that trusts you, that we would have a reputation, in our community, of a church who trusts you, even if it makes us uncomfortable, even if it's going to places that we didn't think we'd go to. I pray that we would be somebody who in our own communities, in our own spaces, are people that would step out and be obedient to your Spirit's leading. I thank you for this time. I thank you for Suzanne. I pray you'd bless her for sharing with us. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Bless you guys. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Suzanne. If anybody wants prayer, special guest, Suzanne. All right, guys, have a great week.